a Christmas blessing that I just love by Wilda English. I like to share it every year and kick off the season in that. And it says, God grant you the light in Christmas, which is faith, the warmth of Christmas, which is love, the radiance of Christmas, which is purity, the righteousness of Christmas, which is justice, the belief of Christmas, which is truth, the all of Christmas, which is Christ. And for just a few moments tonight, I won't keep you late. I know the weather's going to turn pretty bad on us. I'm going to move just a little bit because we have a few less, and I like to be kind of close to you on Wednesday night. Y'all don't move up to me. I'm moving back to you. I want to talk for just a few moments about walk in the light. Jesus said over in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then in John 9:5, he echoes it again. He says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So I want to talk about walking in the light. Jesus is the light of Christmas. This season is a reminder to us that he came to bring light into the world. John 12:46 says, I have come as light. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. And there's a quote by John Piper that I just love. It says, the light of Christ is the brightness of God shining on the retina of the human soul. When you look at Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, he foretold of that light which was to come over in chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 2 and 6 and 7. It said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land in the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. I love Christmas because we read that passage more than any other time. And there's just power in the word of God. Even just speaking the names of God to me sets a different tone in the atmosphere. So Isaiah announced the light that would come in Christ Jesus. When you look over in Luke 2:32, you find Simeon. He's a man that the Bible describes as righteous and devout. He had the Holy Spirit upon him. He was serving in the temple when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus for the time of purification. And the word says, this is from Simeon, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. How many of you know we're Gentiles? We were engrafted in to the vine, that he had mercy upon us as well. And he has given us the revelation of who he is. John the Baptist declared him to be the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ so that we would no longer walk in darkness. The minute that we accept Christ into our life, the moment that we do, we are translated from the dominion or the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We move from darkness into light, according to Colossians 1:13. In John 8:12, Jesus declared this over us, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What a powerful promise that we've been given, that his light lives in us. When you look over in Matthew, Jesus again said, how many of you love those words written in red? read, the words of Jesus, knowing he's speaking. And he said, you are the light of the world. He's talking about us. We're the light. Now that light shines in us, lives in us. We're now a new creation. We're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We're now in the kingdom of his dear son. We have new blood running in our veins. And Jesus is saying, you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men put a light in a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our words should be our not just our words, but our life should be our testimony. The way that we live should be our testimony. That there's not a question whose side we're on, who we serve, who lives within us. Because we're a light on a hill, and we dispel the darkness. Ephesians 5 and 8 puts light in this context to us as believers. For at one time, you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And this is what he says. He doesn't mince any words. He says, walk in the light. You are now the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. When you look at that word walk, it means to live your life or conduct yourself in a Christ-like manner. It means to align yourself with the Word of God, that our daily actions will line up with God's teaching and with his standards. I love personally how direct the Word of God is about our lifestyle. He tells us to walk as children of the light. He tells us to imitate Christ. He tells us whatever you do, do all for what? The glory of God. Everything you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And he tells us to be holy. Why? Because he is holy. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 5, it reinforces the emphasis when the Apostle Paul reminds them, for you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and to the night. When you look over in 1 John 1, it says, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, listen to this, we lie and the truth is not in us. If we say we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we say this, but we live another way, his word says we lie and we have no fellowship with him. We don't practice the truth, but if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and his blood, the blood of his son, cleanses us from all sin. So there we are again in 1 John 5 and 7. He tells us to again, walk in the light. When you look in the Word of God, that word light is mentioned in there some 200 times. 23 times just in John alone. And we've already read several of them where Jesus proclaims that he is light. One of my favorite scriptures is in John 1. I have many favorites, but this is one that I love, that I just believe is so life-changing. In verse 4 and 5, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, could not grasp it, could not understand it. The New Living puts it this way. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So the darkness can't comprehend it, and the darkness can't extinguish it, can never put it out. The light will always be brighter than the darkness. There's another translation that says the darkness can never overcome it, overcome the light. the light is always going to be more powerful. And that's an encouraging word for the church tonight. As dark as the world may get, and we've seen it get pretty dark, His light will always outshine the darkness. And that's why the more that the church begins to arise and be that city on a hill and allow the light of God to shine through us, the dimmer the darkness will become in the world. We have seen that God will answer our prayers if we will pray. If we will stand, we have seen that God will push back the darkness. And we can't retreat now. We have to understand who lives within us. Jesus came as light of the world. And we need to stand firm in the day that we live and push back the darkness, not retreat. Not regress, even though there are things that try to get the church to be silent, but we have to let our voice be heard by lifting up the name of Jesus. When you look on down in verse 6 of John 1, it said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Do you know every one of us are called to bear witness of that light so that others will believe in Jesus? How many of you, your life has been directly affected and still is today by people who walk in the light, who know the Lord, not just coming into salvation for the first time, but living your life and growing in the grace and the things of God because of people that have blazed a trail before you and that are living it even before you now, that bear witness to the light. You watch their life and you see them come through hard places and hard times, and they don't give in and they don't give up, and they trust in God, and it gives you the strength to go on and live for Christ. We're called to bear witness. Charles Swindoll said, you are light in the darkness, a servant of God who is being watched, who gives off light, a very distinct message with hardly a word being said, but our life speaks volumes. I remember, and I've told you about her many times, Sister Hall. I went there as a 16-year-old girl to Tishomingo, Oklahoma, and her husband were pastoring, and I was very vulnerable, but I loved the Lord, wanted to serve Him, and I would just watch her. She, except when she preached, she was a very, very powerful preacher. She was a woman of few words, but the grace and the love that she carried, and her laughter was just contagious. And I remember praying many times, Lord, give me a double portion of what she has. I want what she has. And it was just from being around her. If we went on a trip and took a bus or a van, and they would come with the youth, I would not sit with a group of teenagers. I would make my way. I always wanted to sit by Sister Hall. I just wanted to be around her. I loved her laugh. I loved the way she loved Jesus and the way she loved people. She bore witness of Jesus, and it made me want to love Him. And we're living in a day when we need to bear witness to that life. We're living epistles that are written and read of all men. And that's why there's so much emphasis and focus put on our walk and our obedience and our surrender in the Word of God, giving us clarity on how to live. The power of God's presence and the light of His glory dwelling in us has the authority and the anointing to make an eternal impact on those around us. I ran across a scripture that I know I've read several times because I've read the Bible through. But how many of you know the Word is living and active? And there are just times when it just jumps out a little different. And that's what this did. It's a declaration over us about the light that we carry and the impact that we can leave. And it says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. How many of you like that? Right there. He'll take you by the hand and keep you. He said, I'll give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those that sit in darkness. He's going to make us a light. He's called us into righteousness. He'll help us lead people out of prisons as his children because we bear witness to the light. It's why walking in the light is so important. Russell Ballard said we should seek at all times to purify ourselves and to lead worthy lives, that the light of Christ emanates from us in all we say and do. His light bears witness to the truth. It leads us in paths of righteousness. His light gives us new life and health. It restores us. How many of you have ever been restored in the Lord? You've been walking through a difficult place and the light of his word just began to make an impact in your soul. And it was literally like taking vitamins, the vitamin of the word helping you. Job 29:3 says, your lamp shone upon my head and by your light I walked through darkness. I'm going to read that again because that's going to help somebody. He said, your lamp shone upon my head, and by your light I walked through darkness. We go through some dark places. We go through some silent seasons. We go through some difficult places, but the Lord will walk through that darkness with us and shine a light for us to see. Psalms 18:28 says, for it is you who give light. It is you who light my lamp, the Lord who lightens my darkness. And Psalms 112:4 says, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. He's an on-time God. He helps us. I don't know what you may be dealing with right now, but I pray that the light of his word and his love will overwhelm you this evening, that he'll give you fresh revelation of who he is, that if you're even stumbling with what to do, where to go, you just need a word, that you will hear him say, this is the way, walk in it. That's the kind of God we serve. He is the light of the world. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And then it asks the question, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Even when we're walking through difficult places, the Lord is our light. This Christmas season is a powerful reminder to us that Jesus stepped from eternity into time as the light of the world. He shattered the darkness. I love what 1 Peter 2:9 says. It says that we're a chosen race, that we're a royal priesthood, that we're a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that we can proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We've been called into the light. I want you to listen to this. Jesus is teaching over in John 12, and he said, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of God. This walk that we're in, it's progressive, it's continual. We're going to have to keep learning and pressing into the things of God until we go by the way of the grave or we go by the rapture. But until then, we've got to stay intentional with our walk and our witness. We have to stay connected to the true vine and allow his power to operate in us moment by moment. How many of you have ever found yourself drifting? I think we all have. It's easy to drift. You just kind of get into a flow and you become complacent and become content. And before you know it, you begin to drift. When you come in, there was a time when the first thing you did was worship the Lord. Now your mind is in all kinds of places and you find yourself frustrated. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you've drifted, but that's part of it when we drift. But it's easy to drift, and it's also possible, if we're not careful, to become indifferent. It's possible to become discouraged or disheartened or disillusioned or disjointed and even displaced. So I love what Romans 13:12 tells us to do and reminds us of. It gives us powerful insight on instruction for sound spiritual living. This is for every one of us. The Apostle Paul says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Let's get rid of weights, sins, anything that easily besets us, anything that distracts us, and let's put on the armor of light. That armor will keep our path well lit. The armor of light will expose the snares laid by the enemy, the things that he puts out there to try to trip us up. The armor of light will reveal areas of our heart where selfishness and entitlement and have settled in and where sin lingers. How many of you know this flesh is prone to all of those things? And that armor of light will guard our heart. It will help us. The armor of light will also open our hearts and our minds to the deep love of God. It will help us to find the treasures in the kingdom, in the secret places. When we're opening the word and we're worshiping, the armor of light will reveal those things to us. The armor of light will bring the church into alignment with his word and with one another. How many of you know we're called to unity? To bear with one another in love. And the armor of light will help us to do that. It'll protect our marriage. It'll help us raise our children. It'll help us pour into our grandchildren. The armor of light will help us. It'll also bathe our wounded souls and saturate our barrenness with God's love. The armor of light will do all of those things. It's a healing balm. And I was just thinking when I was studying, what does it mean to put on the armor of light? And 2 Peter 1:9 says, "And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." When we open that word and we apply it, we're putting on the armor of light. The armor of light is his word shining in our hearts, releasing the knowledge and the revelation of God and his greatness. Psalms 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." If you're struggling in any area with anything, open that word and ask the Lord to show you. The beautiful thing about all the resources that we have now that can help us even in our studies is you can jump right online on a concordance, and whatever it be it sin, be it unforgiveness, be it tithing, be it discouragement, be it anxiety, whatever it is that you're struggling with, you can come and find a plethora of scriptures that can help you. And then you open that word and you get into where the light of God's word is, and it begins to bring revelation and it will recalibrate your soul. We have to have the word, the armor of light, to recalibrate our lives to line up with the word of God. When we praise and we worship in spirit and in truth, the heavens open and God reveals his glory to us. That's the armor of light. We're being transformed from glory to glory as we look into the perfect law of liberty. And I'm going to close tonight. I'm not going to keep you long. I know the weather is not good out there. But there's a scripture in John 3:19 that are the words of Jesus that have always troubled me. They just trouble me. And I think it causes me to be more intentional even about intercession. But it says, Jesus says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And then when you look over in Romans 1, and you find that Jesus gave them over to basically a reprobate mind because their thoughts were on evil continually. They knew God. They knew about God. They knew God. They had no excuse, but they chose to let their minds filter on things that were ungodly to the point that they didn't want to even retain him in their knowledge anymore. And he said, this is the verdict. Though light has come into the world, men love darkness rather than light. And we're seeing that. And there's probably not a one of us in here that doesn't know of someone, at least one, probably more than that, that at one time served God, loved God, knew the word, and allowed things to come in, allowed the darkness to overtake the light, and now they're not serving God and they're walking in darkness and they need the light of God's love. It's burdensome. It's burdensome. And my heart and my prayer is that even through this Christmas season, that his light will shine bright in the hearts of people and that we will allow him, that it won't become about all the stuff and all the things. And it is easy to get stressed because there's more activities and there's more things to do and just the season itself for some that have just recently lost someone or that feels lonely, it can be a little tougher than others. But I pray more than anything we understand the reason for it all is that Jesus is the light of the world. And he came to bring that light, and that light is in us that we can reflect it to others. James 1:17 describes the light this way. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, become his prized possession. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. We are his possession.